Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Phenomenal, Alan. I'm loving it. I'm getting a bit of a tradition going here. I've got another whiskey on ice ready to go, but the ice is less necessary. The climate control tonight is a lot easier.
Yeah, I bet. Last week was brutal. I did feel pretty bad for you out in your studio when I just sit in my nice, comfortable house every week. Not much of a care in the world, but you made it work. Yeah, we appreciate it. How did the intro come in? A little bit clearer today?
I could hear it this time. So I feel like whatever you stuffed up last week, you've got right this week.
So our device is not very complicated. Just to be honest, there's four inputs, four out. Four inputs, four outputs. There's a couple USB things, but the two USB Cs are right next to each other, and one of them is the power. It's got a backup. That's a battery, but you can run the power, which I may as well do. And then the other one plugs into my iPad, and I had them around the wrong way. So my iPad was charging the unit. And it was just trying to get an audio input from the 24-volt power supply. So that's where we're at last week. But I believe it's all fixed this now. So look at me go.
Spotlights! Spotlight!
Give myself a quick little early spotlight there. How's your week been?
Yeah, cruisy. Obviously, work, couldn't get out and throw frisbees on the weekend. Beautiful half, had some work on and whatnot. So, haven't thrown frisbees in a little while, but yeah, it's been a good week. Work's been cruisy. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, same sort of deal. I played frisbee on the weekend, but cruisy week, and I got a half day on Friday, which is very nice because I'm going to go set up some of the stuff for the Ruffy Rumble. Last year I did it after work and it was frustrating. So I'm going to take a half a day. The old man's going to come help me and I think everything's going to go nice and smoothly. We'll set up all the baskets. We've got the good rad aces, the top of the line ones. So we'll set those up and then might play a cheeky little round there. So they'll probably be set up from about 1 o'clock-ish, if anyone has the Friday off and is keen to have a bit of a throw, but we'll probably set the baskets up and then we'll go to hole one and start spraying tee pads and playing as we go, and then we might chain the baskets up to trees as we go along in preparation for the morning. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. Ruffy Rumble's looking like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, awesome. Love that. Yeah. Obviously, won't get to see the course beforehand. I might have to. Will you leave it set up Saturday night?
No, because we don't want to get the basket stolen. So, just got to, like I said, as soon as we set them up, we'll go play. And then, as we play, as soon as we get to a temporary one, we'll chain it to a tree. Bang, bang, yeah. Bang, bang. So that once our round's done, the course will be marked, the flags will be out, and all I have to do is put the baskets out in the morning. So. Should be good. Yeah, got some good prizes and stuff going. Plenty of club vouchers. Got some cool discs off Bespoke to give away for the long drive on hole 11, which should be a bit of fun. So, yeah, hot. Going to be hot on Saturday. So I'll have some drinks and stuff in an Esky, and I'll just be chilling, probably chilling on the Monster, watching everyone try not to throw out of bounds. So. Yeah, should be good. And then get into action on day two myself.
Yeah, bring it on. Mm. Bring it on.
We'll get to a bit more of that later. We'll do a preview of that later. But we did see come up on the group chats, the disc golf group chats, that there's going to be a Vic Open Working Bee / tournament in Bendigo in preparation for the Vic Open in April. So I think it was in, I should have the dates in front of me, but I think it was in May or even March.
It was not yet. It was 15th and 16th of March.
Which I think is going to work out pretty handy for me. I've got a hectic period, but we're renting our apartment out that weekend for the Grand Prix. So maybe I'll have a look and see if there's any nice Airbnbs in Bendigo and I can maybe swing a little trip with the missus.
I love that view. That is clutch.
We'll see. We'll see. That might be the plan. But yeah, it's from what I'm hearing, the plan is to get in 18 baskets by Vic Open. That's something that's just going to end up happening in the background, I believe. The working bee is more about getting the tee pads in. So the baskets are crucial, the tee pads less so, but not really. So the more hands on deck we can get, the more guaranteed tee pads will be in for the Vic Open. So if anyone is available, please, please get down there. And then, yeah, they'll have basket, temporary baskets set up to play the tournament layout the very next day on the Sunday. So definitely try to come to that if you can. But feel a little bit bad about yourself if you don't go to the Working Bee but do play the tourney. So,
oh, that'll be me. that'll 100% will be me.
Yeah, well, not lights coming.
I might be able to swindle one day and, like, let's just toss a coin real quick. it landed on the Sunday. All right, looks like I've got the Sunday free. I'll see if I can make it up on the Sunday.
Well, for everyone else, try not to be like Chris and try to get out there. We want tee pads. It's a major after all, and I think that's sort of like standard now. So let's see how many we can get in the ground. But I'm excited. 18 full tee pads and 18 full baskets in Bendigo is it's gonna be exciting.
What I'm like, I'm excited, not signed up for the Vic Open yet, but very excited and will hopefully sign up for the Vic Open. But doing the maths, we're there just a couple of weeks before that for the Green Jacket, obviously the most prestigious event in Australian disc golf. And if there are 18 baskets in the ground for the Green Jacket weekend, that is huge news.
Yeah, they're not. I just said we'll be playing temporary baskets for that tourney. Yeah, if we're very lucky, there might be some paint on the ground that shows the layout.
but
no, there's not. You've misread that situation. No, there should be 18 baskets in the ground by the Vic Open. But I think the tee pads are the priority for this Working Bee, and I think the baskets might be coming after that.
Sounds backwards to me.
Well, I think the tournament might be a bit of a fundraiser as well to help raise some funds to get the baskets. I do believe I read something about that. But there is 106 players registered for the Vic Open at the moment. So you might have to get in there before time runs out. Not a very big open field, though. A couple big names with Dill and Dan Frost, Paddy Robinson, of course, and Timmy B. Then a bunch of the Melbourne crew, but not much after that. So I'm sure we'll see a few late sign-ups from some of those big boys that like to travel. But yeah, it'll fill up quick. 106 spots. Well, 106 places taken already. So
I'll sign up soon.
Yeah.
Remind me again, when is Vic Open?
Anzac Day weekend. I believe Anzac Day is the Friday this year. So I think it's the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right. All right.
The 25th of April.
Yeah, wicked. Thank you. I was just Googling that. I will I'll sign up.
That's trash. It's un-Australian. I'll just quick Google Anzac Day real quick.
Come on, mate. Sorry, I'm not an Essendon supporter. Sorry.
No, it sounds good. Get signed up and get to the Working Bee. There's a social social media event created with all the information you need. Check it out. It was in the Disc Golf in Melbourne. Things, Chris will probably share it or maybe already has shared it on our socials as well.
Yeah, it was pushed out by Disc Golf Victoria. I will do some sharing of it as well.
Very nice. All right, we had some Frisbee on the weekend. The Llewellyn social day. I was keen and I got myself down there for the 10:30 session before I had to head to Pakenham to pick up the basket. So, it was a good day. But it was pretty good conditions. So I was expecting some pretty hot scores. And, yeah, we got a few decent ones. But leading the charge, it was Timmy on a tear wear. He's back with a vengeance. He just dominated. I think he bogeyed like his last as well. So had a very hot stretch there and could have put up some pretty insane numbers. But
He was in the 10:30 group, I feel like it, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He was in the hole behind us.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just seemed like he birded every single hole. So it happened quick. Yeah, well done there, Timmy. He edged out the likes of Penn, Marcus, and Aiden, who all finished on a neg 8. And Kalen just lagging behind them there on a neg 7. So pretty good shooting by those boys. I was on a card with Kalen and Penn. And yeah, they were kind of up and about. I was sort of up and about, but I took some big numbers as well. So that was, yeah, we didn't really need them. I was pretty happy with how I played, but then my score sucked. So I was like, all right, not sure what's going on with that. But you just can't be taking bogeys. Yeah, obviously, nah. I thought I was playing well, and then you just do a couple of silly little things, and then it's like, oh, all right, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to look at the division breakdown. Sorry, that was Div A. What have you got the rest for Div B?
No, I definitely don't have that open. Way to throw me under the bus.
Sorry. I thought I'll have it here in front of me. I think. Oh no, that's.
I also have the metrics thing open.
Nice. No, I've got it here. So in Div C, we got Peter Barry taking it out over Marcus Davies, a plus one versus a plus two. So tight going there for Pete. But yeah, holds out. I think that's back to back Div C wins for him. So Div B, surely on the cards. Just playing too good, our man. Not much doing in the no metrics and the non-member ratings. A lot of names I'm not familiar with, and a lot of scores that aren't doing very much.
Yeah, but surely you know how to pronounce Mike and Reese's last name.
There we go. We'll give it a shot. I have a correction for a name I butchered last week, so we're going to see if we can sort that out. But, yeah, Mike and Reese, oofed. nah.
Let's just run with oofed. Let's just run with oofed.
Check out. Yeah, yeah. I was going to have a crack. I can't even have a crack. I can't even have a crack. I'm sorry, Mike and Reese. That's big. For everyone playing at home, just go check out the social day results for Llewellyn and see what you got for me there. So, I'm definitely looking at the wrong scores here too. Am I? Yeah, no. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Alex? Yeah, Alex sent us the wrong results.
How is he? Why? Where are they from?
I don't know, but like succulent Chinese meal is that. Oh, wait, no, but then there's Tim Ware. Or am I just looking at the wrong shit?
You're tripping.
I'm Div B. Balls.
Yeah, Div B, Seb Gutierrez, minus five over Levi with a neg four, Nick Tay, neg two. Yeah, Paul Arden, Wayne Hood, and Zolt coming in at neg one. But well done there, Seb. Pretty strong front nine, only finding the one birdie on the back nine, but plenty on the front to hold it out. We already highlighted Div A. Tim smashed it, followed by Penn, Marcus, and Aiden.
Back to Tim Div B though. So you just skipped over seventh place there, who is a friend of the show, Zach Schloffel. I reckon I've got it this time.
Well,
he came out, he was handed out the I think he was running the social day, and he was handed out the member tags, and he's like, oh hi, I'm Zach. And I was like, oh okay, sorry I talk about you without knowing you. And he's like, no, that's cool. He's like, you got my name wrong though. I was like, yeah, I'm sure I did. So he told me how to say it, and I practiced it a few times during the round, so I hope I nailed it this time. And then Kalen had to point out that I say his name wrong every time as well. He's like, oh, just on the topic. So how do you say Kalen's last name?
How do I say Kalen's last name?
Yeah, you don't, do you? I don't think you've ever said his name.
Haramis.
Nah, it's definitely not that. I think I say Haramis, and it's Haramis.
Oh, yeah, see? Yeah, I was close.
You're closer. Yeah, you're closer. Yeah. So we're getting there, but yeah, I'm not having a crack at Reese and Mike. That's wild.
No, and if they just went back to season one, all of these passionate listeners, thanks for the feedback. You will see that I don't even know how to say my own fucking last name. So just join in on the fun. Yeah. Pocati Beans, he'll get that legally changed one day.
Yeah, he's never corrected us, so that's how can we do it?
Yeah.
We've got the CTB winners. Jacob Cruden somehow took out Div A. It was a jank hole, so that makes sense. It's the one where you got to throw over all the bushes and shit and you can't see the basket.
Blame Jacob.
So, yeah, of course he got that. Yep. Matt Finnegan took out Div B. Marcus Davies took out Div C. And the handicap winners, of course, Timmy Ware took out the Div A handicap. The win end of the handicap means he played bloody great. Sebastian Gutierrez for Div B and Peter Barry in Div C. And, oh, yeah, here's a note saying that's, yeah, back-to-back weeks. And he is back into Div B now, Peter Barry. So a little sandbag and ass got down there, and now he's back where he belongs.
The Finnegan, every time, gets me going with, obviously, Michael Finnegan with whiskers on his jinnigan.
Yeah.
And it's, as obviously a father of a less than two-year-old, I'm pretty familiar with the Finnegan nursery rhyme. And so every time you bring it up, I just start singing it in the back of my head.
There you go. I like that. Maybe we'll have to play that on what's
the
that?
The Anthem Watch. Let's call it the Anthem Watch.
Shit. all right, we are losing structural integrity of this pod early. So we'll ironically, we're going to go make fun of another podcast real quick. I've got next on the rod sheet is the tee off counter. So have you jumped on Spotify to see how many episodes of tee off are up to this year?
I'm on it often. And I've got notifications turned on. Notifications.
Oh, okay. So still at zero?
Still at zero.
Okay, all right. 19th of Feb. Cool.
Tune in next week.
We had a major. We talked about this. We had a major, and it was a major disappointment. But for 32 people, I'm sure it was fun. Oh, jeez, this is going to be our worst episode ever. This was the Tassie Open, played down in affectionately known as Kangaroo Flats, but most commonly known as Wallaby Hill.
Correct.
And there was two people in the MA4 division that showed up, Mark Fahey and Sam Scott, and Mark takes it out pretty comfortably. What about MA3?
MA3, we had we also had the Doosum take it out. We had David Parsons and Kynan King, and David Parsons was too strong. And it looks like he does not have a rating, but he will now. So well done, David Parsons. Welcome to the game.
Beautiful. In MA50, I guess technically two people came. This is the biggest margin of victory I've ever seen. I can't imagine it's a bigger one ever. Kerry Edwards and Andy Jones in the MA50 division. Kerry shot pretty handy rounds, 914, 953, 937. That's well above rating each round for him. So very tidy disc golf for Kerry. Shoots a plus five overall. And Andy Jones, who I must imagine is new to the game, shot a plus 141. So that makes a 136 stroke victory for Kerry.
I like to think that obviously they would have got to play at least rounds two and three together, if not round one. And in round two, on hole 13, par five, Kerry takes the birdie, four throws to get it into the basket. And Andy Jones takes the legs 11. Seven stroke differential on the just the one hole there. I want to see that. I hope Park Media caught that on coverage. I want to see what that looks like.
I think Park Media was more likely to get down to Llewellyn than they were to get to this. So. Brutal.
MA40, we got a division there. We had six players tee off, and we had five players complete it. And it was ring-a-ding-ding. ring-a-ding-ding. Nick Hall goes into the last round with a 5-stroke gap over our mate John. But John went at it final round, tried to claw it back. And in the end, it was a 1-stroke victory to Nick Hall. So that's an absolute ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah, big. Very big. All of them getting absolutely smoked by Kerry, though. Like, I definitely need to point that out. Plus 34 for Nick, and yeah, that plus 5 for Kerry. It's, yeah, that's hectic. So well done to Kerry on that. But yeah, Nicole gets it done. And what's going on with Dan Hartley? Diamond Dan just getting wiped away by the rest of them. That's we don't like seeing that.
No, we don't. I don't. I wonder if he's in that weird bracket now where he's just like counting down the years to MA50.
He's been well in MA50 for a while.
Just didn't want to get smoked by Kerry.
I guess so. Yeah, he might. He should be playing. He's probably not probably. He's be in MA60, I think. The old man's in MA60, and I reckon Dan and him are around the same age.
Okay.
Counting down the days.
You surprised me, Dan. You surprised me. Yeah. You look like a 41-year-old.
He's sprightly.
He is very sprightly.
In the MA1, I should say no surprise here, but I thought some of those other boys would put up a bit more of a fight, but I've tangled with Sam Rubock in Tassie before. Not a name most people would know, but local Tassie guy very rarely leaves the little island to get to the big one, but he's very formidable down there at the two tournaments a year they play, and this was no exception. Very good rounds, all above rating, and he takes a neg one to beat Bryce Winchester by five strokes and a few back the other local, Ed Hesline. So big shooting there by Sam.
Yes, not so big shooting by Broden, who rounds out the top four. And obviously we know Broden's got a ridiculous ceiling, so I imagine that was not the event he was looking for.
No, definitely not. And Bryce as well, like Bryce second or third or something, the Nationals, up and comer, for sure. So, but yeah, just getting absolutely smoked there by the locals. So score one good win there for the locals.
Cool to see, Kirsten Murray, jamming around in, MA1.
I did miss that.
Yeah, obviously could have signed up for any female division, and taken the W, but I thought she'd have a crack at MA1. And yeah, shot an 866 event, and took a couple of scalps. So including our mate, Matt Green, by a few strokes, bad luck, Matt. Well done, Kirsten.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know what Matt was doing. I need to message him. Be like, what's going on there?
I need to share with Matt the whiskey I'm drinking at the moment. It's bloody delicious.
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, share with us. What do you got?
No. I think I brought it up on the pod already.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
It's the Sipping something or other. I've forgotten its name now, but it's obviously from the Whiskey Club.
Fair enough. Yep. How did the MPO shake out?
Yeah, well, roller coasters. Well, for some. Roller coasters for some in MPO. We need to talk about Tim Bowen. Tim Bowen gets out of the gate round one with a Joyzus plus four, round one, 914 rated, a mere 16 strokes off the pace.
Crazy. Yeah.
Bettered by Jade Brady out of the gates with a minus 12. Just absolutely hectic. You had Reese Wisneski come out shooting as well with a minus 9, and old mate Elias, who you fired up last week, with a minus 7. And Luke Bain was finding himself out of the podium. We get to the end of round two and a complete shift. Jay Brady holds on. Jay Brady's flying. But Luke Bain finds himself into second. And Tim Bowen backs up his plus 4 with a minus 9. Goes 13 strokes better to find himself on the podium and knock Reese off it. And plays well enough round three to maintain the podium. That's a great performance by Tim. But absolutely whatever. There's a saying there, but I've lost it. Absolutely outclassed by Jade Brady, who has a 9-stroke victory and essentially plays a 1,000-rated event. Well done, Jade.
Yeah, big. Just huge numbers for people who are looking at it. Neg 29 and neg 20 for Jade and Luke, and then it drops way down to neg 8 for Timmy B there in third. So just huge gaps. And, yeah, well done to those boys. Bainey loves it down there at home in Tassie. So big, big scalp there for Jade. And first major of the year under his belt. Second one in his own backyard. He's going to be looking to have a very big stranglehold on the tour early days.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we had some Throwers Guarantee stuff in the mix in all that. I know that at the social day, I had Chris Scott to be taking down Penn Lu. And I remember vividly saying, I like Chris there. Like, Chris is good. Chris is good at Llewellyn. And correct. When we got out of the car, he's like, yeah, I've played Llewellyn like once. I was like, oh. Okay. cool. So Chris had a very good start and what's his name? Penn did not. So I was thinking, all right, here we go. I'm just a genius. And then it all kind of went away. So Penn won comfortably in the end. So I did not get mine. How did yours turn out?
Surely better than that. You gave me a cheeky one, which was nice. I love when you give me that one. So all I needed to happen to get any points, obviously I was looking for 6 points, was I needed Jacob Cruden to take some scalps. So let's just have a quick look here at Div A. Fuck, Jacob. Fuck.
He's no good.
He has taken zero scalps. Absolutely zero scalps. So I will also take no points. Thank you very much.
That's crazy. That's a rough one. Dan Frawley tried. He was up and down, up and down, up and down. But yeah, managed to stay even with Jacob. Not scores. Not good scores for either of them.
No.
Dan Frawley was actually an interesting little subject. We were doing the players meeting or just about to or something. And anyway, people be warming up, this and that, that's fine. And then all of a sudden, I just saw some guy just like rip one across the oval. And I was like, who the fuck's that? Like, I swear I'd never seen this person in my life. And I asked a couple of people that were like, yeah, I'm not sure either. And I was like, we just have some random cum that can like rip a disc? Like, it wasn't like it was incredible. It wasn't like it was 150 meters, but it was just odd. Like, a person I'd never seen was just like, oh, yeah, nice form, and I just threw it like 110 meters. I was like, what? And then, yeah, quickly realized it was Dan Frawley. So the man can throw, definitely caught my eye, but yeah, he must have got himself in a little bit of trouble like I did. No problems. That's fine. We're all been there.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of Trollers Guarantees. I had Ash Brookers taking out Div B, and I do not remember saying his name. So
don't think that happened.
He tied with the other Ash Wiedner, and Jace. We missed that little Jace Wiedner up there with them. So, yep, no points for me at all. What about your Trollers Guarantee? How'd that shake out?
I had Atticus to podium, then reworded to Atticus to top two, and he did not shoot 20 under. he was 19 shots off that, unfortunately.
Fair enough. There you go. All right. No good. No good. No good. No good. all right. We have, I think, a bit more from our alphabet watch.
Yes.
This was sent in from Alex Evans. I haven't actually played this whole thing. I think I started it. And then, so we'll see how we go. Not an anthem, but I believe this is a what's it, psychotic music, alphabet or something. It's heavy.
All right, bring it up.
Hey, everybody! Are you ready to learn? Yeah! Good! So prepare to get ready to sing along! A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z!
Yes.
That's good. Oh, get out of here. Oh, I can't make it stop. I fixed it. I just got out of it. That was good. I like that by Alex. I like the LMNOP, strong aspect of it. That was good.
It is. Yeah, you should see me read it now to Theo. Theo loves a good alphabet book. He's got one. It's called like the Cheeky Toddler Alphabet. And I'm like, it's got a picture for each letter of the alphabet. And I'm like, it's so hard not to rush through that section of the book, this LMNOP. And he's like, oh, but I want to talk about the pictures. I'm like, no, this section of the alphabet goes quick, deal with it.
It's ingrained in your brain. If anyone else has some alphabet stuff, send us in. We're just going to keep doing this until we don't anymore. If I got something to play, I'll play it. Alphabet Watch. All right. We'll have to have a good look at the Ruffy Rumble, who's playing, and more importantly, who's winning. Broken into the 2 days, which day should we have a look at first?
Day one.
Day one. All right. Let me just get up. Jeff Berunsting, he's playing in that. 35, I think it's going to be. So how do you think that's going to affect? Like, have you got some names that you think are going to not be able to handle that or are going to thrive in that? Are we looking for athletes here, you think?
Yeah, good question. Good question. You could do, but that would take some effort. And I just like to order it by rating and then just pick the guy that's at the top.
Nice. Yeah, well, if we're starting with MA50 and we're looking for athletes, we'll be looking for a while, I think. The only one of them that would qualify is playing in MA2. So who do you like in MA50?
Look, VDL, Mike, he's done it time and time again. So he is hard to look past. But, you know, that top three, including my mate Finnegan with his whiskers on his chin again, look, I look forward to seeing how it shakes out. But obviously my money, I want to put it on the better Bruns thing, but it has to go to Mike.
Fair enough. Nah, he's definitely hard to go past. He is fresh back from a holiday though, so could have a bit of jet lag. You know, the old people take a little while to get acclimatized. So it wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a sneaky one sneaking in there. But yeah, Mike's the man to beat. The one they'll all be chasing for sure. In MA2, it's spicy. We've got a few names that were meant to be playing on day two that have other commitments now, so they've moved over to day one. And Tommy Jenkar was top dog for quite some time, and then very quickly, Glenn Maisie, Cranny, and Narada have come and crashed his party. Who are you liking?
Look, I think Tommy at his best is hard to beat. I'm going to tip Glenn Maisie.
You're reading my mind there. I reckon so as well. I think there's a lot of controlled shots on that course, and I think Glenn's going to get it done. The okay, old boy getting go. It done. I reckon if Cranny had played in MA50, my money would have been on him because he's actually in shape.
Yeah, for sure.
But some good battles all through that too. The Parked crew are out playing in that. So we've got Ash and Kyle and I think Jay. Oh, no, maybe not Jace. On Maddie's on tomorrow. So, yeah, just Ash and Kyle battling out there with your boy Max Tat. So MA2 is a pretty solid division at the moment. Peter Chu in there? Oh, he's just got no rating. Oh, sneaky Peter Chu. Might have to change my tip. I reckon Pete Chu takes it out.
And who's taught Paul Jenkar how to play?
Yeah, Tommy's done it for sure. So, I'm changing. We're going to go Peter Chu here.
Okay, that is a bad mistake.
Bad mistake.
Kim Michelle looking to put in a strong performance. MA3, there is. I know you're looking for Jace in MA2. No, but if you order it by rating in MA3, you just have to look at the bottom to find Jason Weedner's name there. But the name that jumps out at me, who I've not seen in a hot minute.
We are on the same page.
I was actually thinking about him the other day, going, "Whatever happened to the triangle himself?"
Yep.
Chu Tran. Back. Yep.
Yeah, me too. I saw him. Obviously, I saw him register. I put his name in the register. But I've been thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, man, I swear he was going to be my Houdini tip for the end of the year, because I feel like I haven't seen him since Melbourne Celebrates, maybe. So
yeah, it's been a minute.
Big. So we'll see. Surely he can't just roll up after 6 months away and take down the win.
Surely.
I would hope not. So I'm going to go with Levi. He's been playing quite good at the social days. So, yeah, I think Levi to take a big scalp. 15 people fielded in MA3 is very solid.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, a lot of good names that could pop off there. Johnny Martin, I think Johnny Martin's playing both days. He's keen. Dave Gannon's in there. So Zach Schloffel's in there. Loads of names. We actually have a few in MA4 as well. Not bad. 8-person field. They're always, you don't have to worry too much about the ratings in that one. You just look for the names. And a name that I see that wins, gets wins, is Georgia Carroll. So
ooh.
I feel like the experience could shine through. Ben Matthews got her outnumbered by rating by a fair bit, but he doesn't even have a state or a city on his name. So you know what I mean? Like, how serious are you about your disc golf if you don't even have that?
Who are you?
So I reckon Georgia could get it done.
Josh Quinn for me.
From Frankston. Oh, okay. I didn't know we had any from Frankston getting involved.
I can't remember old mate Quinn's first name.
Joe.
I assume Josh Quinn is actually just an alias for Joe Quinn, and therefore he's probably a sneaky, nearly 1,000 rated disc golfer. So I'm tipping Josh Quinn to get a Carey-like victory.
Okay, very nice. All right, smart. Good call.
Thanks.
A couple in the FA4. We've got Dolly Tupuro and Matalis Valge, who I didn't cotton onto this the very first time, but that's Vil's missus. So she's been getting into the game, and she's she's been dominating. So she'll dominate once again.
Yes, she will. Yeah. Okay, well spotted.
Yeah. And Marcus Davies there in MJ15, just battling out amongst himself. So hopefully he has a nice little day. But yeah, should be a good one there. What do we have? 50 odd. We had a very nice 54, I want to say, which is 18 divided by 3. And that was going to have, cards of 3 rolling through a nice, quick, hot round. And I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know if I do a couple sneaky 4s or if we just do 4s and give some gaps. But they ruined it. They ruined it.
They did.
56.
They did.
Bastards. and then day 2, we find out what can really happen on the course with the big dogs. MA40, decent field. There's 9 of them in that. And with Taron leading the way. No succulent Chinese meal here. He takes the PDGA shit seriously.
Yes,
so
he does.
He's leading it, but Jay Ross is in there to put up a fight, and then maybe that's the end of the list.
Correct.
As far as the fight goes, there'll be a good battle for third. There'll be a very good battle for third, but first and second, I think they might just be playing rock, paper, scissors. What do you reckon?
Yep. I can't see it going any other way, except obviously Dan Bradshaw's name sitting in there. With obviously no metric trading, we know he stuffs around for sure. But Taron and Jay to take 1 and 2. My money will be on Taron. Taron loves a victory.
loves a victory.
Anita obviously taking down FA1. Quick look at MA1. And ring-a-ding-ding.
Good field.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Good field. I just can't. I can't not tip Pan ever now. I just feel like he'll win them all. All the ones he plays. So, but Brennan gets shit done. So it's going to be very good. I forgot about him when we were talking. My card on the weekend was Chris Scott, Ben Liu, Kalen, and I was like, well, we'll just be the top 4 at the at the Ruffy Rumble. We'll just get used to this, boys. We'll play with each other all the whole time. No dramas. But I did forget about Brennan Menton. So hopefully I'm not the one that gets booted for that shit. Because he'll be on the lead cut.
Yeah.
So pretty tight, but I find it way too hard to not tip Penn, unfortunately.
Yeah, true that. But I will tip Kalen.
Very nice. Yeah, well, he's been playing good last social day. I think one before that I blasted him for being shit, but he played quite well on the weekend, and a couple long bomb holes that he could just take advantage of.
Yep. He'll pull an MA1 victory this year, Kalen, and why not start now?
Why not indeed?
MP40, look at that. That's a dream. That's the dream MP40 right there.
Yeah, it's nice. There was no MP40, so Rubes signed up to MPO because there was no one in MP40, and then Dazza signed up to MP40 because Ruben wasn't in MP40, and then Josh Smith does whatever Josh Smith wants. So he signed up to MP40 on his own, which then prompted a group message from Ruben and Darren to say, can we play MP40? So
yeah,
that's how we ended up with three in MP40, and feel bad for Josh because he's just going to get smoked by both of them.
yes, he will. I nearly said most likely, but I should retract that statement. And yeah, Ruben's been playing some good golf, so good luck, Darren. But I'm going to tip Darren.
I like that Dazza hasn't practiced it. I like him better without the expectations. I feel like when he gets to the courses and he gets a few rounds in, he gets all excited. He's like, oh, I've buzzed chains on this, I've done that, and then he gets rolled. So
yeah,
I like that he is just going to roll up on the day and see what's what. So I like Dazza for that. But I imagine Ruben has been out playing. I imagine that.
Yes, he has. Ruben would have been out there with his Bushnell, and he will be dialed.
So that'll be a good one to watch there. And in the MPO slim field now that a couple of those boys left, only five, and five is the worst number of a group. Actually, I think it's going to be all right. I'll probably run groups of three because there's only 15 people playing on day two. So it's not like either you or Parrish will miss out on league card. You both will.
Thanks.
But the three people playing to win, they all have probably a crack. Is Dylan, were you just assuming Dylan's still Dylan?
Yeah, we are. Well, yeah. It's not even an assumption. Like, he's posted some scores. I know they're casual, but they are disgustingly casual. And he wins this comfortably.
I think my throwers guarantee is going to revolve around. Oh, we may as well just move right into it.
Yes.
I've got to figure out a way. You might have to work with me on this one. I've got to figure out a way to word it and get some points. But the way I read MPO is Dylan, Gap, Deer and Vil, Gap, Chris and Nath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you.
What, like, what do you give me? Like, who's going to have what's the bigger gap? What's the bigger gap between Dill and second, or the middle two?
Third and fourth. Yep.
What's the bigger gap? Or like how are we doing? You know what I mean? We got to find a way to point.
I'll point that up. All right. I got you. Right. So yeah.
Dylan will win by more than whatever will come. Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, sorry, you go.
Yeah. So I reckon, that's what we're talking about. So what's the biggest gap between first and second, or between third and fourth?
Mm.
And I think the biggest gap is between first and second. And I think that's the favorite. I reckon the biggest gap is between first and second, and I would give you 3 points for that.
Yeah.
But if you think there's a bigger gap between Vil and Parrish, I'll give you 7 for that.
Yeah. Vil and Parrish, so you're putting you last. Okay. I'll put myself
second, but that's okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'll do that. I'll take the three. I'll try to get some points on the board here. So Dylan to gap second, more than third will gap fourth.
Yeah. that's a generous three. I will be very surprised if you don't get points there.
You should.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, this is where I'm fucking around as well. And I'd like to know how many points would you give me for a Chris Ronald's podium?
Ooh, okay. And this is not the trollers.
No.
No, I don't know. This is hard because I rate you higher than you rate you and that your rating rates. But I do think it is on the other side of likely. More than well, you won't beat Dylan. More than likely, you'll lose to Dear Oss and Vil. But I don't think it's like I think you want a 7. I don't think it's that far off. So I think I'm going to go a 6.
Which means which so I can have a 4 for not podium.
Yeah, I guess so. Then maybe I do want to give you a 7. Yeah.
See what I'm see where I'm going here?
Yeah. All right. Now, yeah, I don't want to give you a 6 for that. So, yep, it's 7 your podium and 3 you don't.
All right, that's better. Now we're talking. All right, fuck it. I'm going for the 7.
Nice. All right, sounds good. So I'm just writing that down. Dill, biggest gap is 3, and Chris, podium, 7. Nice. Yep. I think you can. I definitely think you can. I just didn't like it. I just didn't like it the other way real quick.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was definitely going the other way until you changed the numbers.
Yeah.
The 7 sucked me in.
Exactly. Nice. Nah, it's a good system. What about, have you got any trollers?
Oh, yeah, simple. I win.
Yeah, sure. Done. That's cool. In the same vein, I'll go Josh Smith win.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That will happen.
All right, I think a quick one this week. I haven't even looked at the time. Oh, no, it's about the same. All we got left is Spotlight, Not Light. What do you got?
I've got some stuff. I've just quickly opened it up. I have ran this whole pod without me cheeky PowerPoint open that tells me the notes that I wrote all week. and I need them for this segment. All right. I'm going to get started with a Not Light. Honourable mention, Jacob Cruden. You're better than that. But my actual Not Light goes to everyone in our group chat except for Gareth. Because Ryan Michelle put up an Instagram post that said he came 25th in a tournament, but instead of putting TH, he put ST. 25 ST.
Oh, that's gross.
25th, like whatever that is. So then I put that screenshot in the chat and said almost as good as 23rd, but instead of putting RD, I put ND, as in like 22nd, 3rd, or whatever that is. I was like, what an idiot. And only Gareth gave it a laugh reaction.
I didn't even notice it.
This was weeks ago when they played in New Zealand. And I was like, this was funny. And only Gareth noticed how funny it was. So everyone in our group chat, except for Gareth, cops are not like, because that was funny.
Sure. I couldn't think of any this week. I don't know. I feel like I salvaged the mishap with the cords last week, so I'm not going to give myself one for that. And there was nothing else I really saw that I didn't like, I don't think. So, good week.
All right, well done. Spotlight, honourable mention, I'd already spoken about it, but Tim Bowen turning that around to end up shooting like just about on like only 10 points below his rating for the event, starting so far below his actual rating, was pretty elite, and I was pretty impressed by that. But my actual spotlight is going to go to Seb for his domination and taking out the division, but obviously also taking out the handicap. Well done, Seb. Good disc golf.
Spotlights!
Yes.
Mine goes to one of my favorite spotlights ever. Like, definitely this year. The best spotlight of the year, I think. I rolled up to the Llewellyn social day. Paul Arden, fixture of the club, fixture of the game, had finished his round, and he's come up to me and proudly whipped out this big boy and put in my... put in my hand this 3D printed monstrosity that he made. People will know Paul for a lot of different things, but for his fidget minis is why he's become popular to the new crowd, I would say. They're fantastic. It's the only mini I ever play with. Is for anyone who hasn't seen, it's a 3D printed thing. There's a bearing in the middle and you spin it around, bearings on the side. It's great. And he has come in with a full disc-sized fidget mini.
Huge.
It's so huge. He 3D printed it as prizes, I think, for the Masters Cup thing coming up. So I think he was showing Dad, and it was incredible. It was one of the best things I ever saw. I quickly had a photo, chucked a photo in the group chat of that. I've coined it the Fidget Maxi, and I hope that he sticks with that.
Love it.
But it was fucking sick. It was so heavy. It was so heavy, but just what a cool idea, like making a giant fidget mini. So yeah, Paul Arden gets my spotlight.
Spotlights! Yes, Paul, well done.
Yeah, it was cool. I think that's it though. I've got nothing else to add. Have you?
No, I do not.
Beautiful. All right, well, yeah, tomorrow is the last day to register for the Ruffy Rumble if you want to get involved. Yeah. Other than that, I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.